I got bad news for everybody. I didn't have coffee at home this morning.
Oh, no.
I was kind of in a scramble. And obviously, I get on Subway, and there's delays. There's something going on, and it's just crawling. So by the time I get to what is coffee number two, it's still too hot because I was essentially late to work. I haven't had a sip. It's just, I tried to touch it to my lips. I got sensitive skin, all right? That includes your lips. And I haven't had any, so I'm cranky. So the second I stepped foot in here today, everybody talking just was hated by me. Joe, immediately hated by me.
What?
Slovenia, immediately hated by me deeply. I was late to watch the Slovenia game. I was trying to get here early to watch Canada play. Calum, what a stupid hoodie. Like, maybe the stupidest hoodie I've ever seen in my entire life. In a heat wave, and he comes in here, and he's wearing, like, a bejeweled hoodie that I'm guessing cost him $10 million. It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Austin, he's actually escaped my wrath today because Austin, sometimes, I think when I'm cranky, that's the closest I actually link up to Austin's brain.
There's the most synergy there.
Yeah. Like, I think that we kind of... We neuro-link, you know? Just like, click. I get it. I get what's going on. Because he's always sleep-deprived, and he's always coming in here, I only got 2 hours of sleep. I get it. Because that's how I feel, no coffee. Just terrible. Anyways.
I felt your energy today, JD, and I chose to be quiet.
But you got it. You stayed away.
Oh, yeah.
Joe tried to be, so what do you think about this? No. Calum was quiet, but that hoodie was so loud that I... I couldn't do anything.
Counteracted.
That is the worst hoodie I've ever seen. I can't believe a person wore that hoodie to work. Bejeweled. It's like a grown man. Terrible. Anyway, the only person that had a worse time than you guys today being around me, the couple at the Blue Jays game last night. Amazing. So I was sitting there watching the Blue Jays stink for what? The first five, six innings?
Six innings.
Yeah, because the seventh is where they poured it on, right?
Yeah, top of the seventh.
And then guess what? They put those runs on the board. I went to bed immediately. I was not going to stick around for most of that. But I was sitting there kind of grumbling away going, I can't believe that I'm letting the Blue Jays keep me up and spoil my evening this way. I had a nice day. I did a lot of great stuff. And then I'm winding down with out after out of, yeah, the Bad News Bears Blue Jays, I keep calling them. But really, it's depressing. Whit Merrifield's in their cleanup. I love Whit, but he's in the cleanup spot. And then they show the unhappy couple. And it just was worth it. It was worth my night. And if you didn't see the people, I have a picture of it up on my Twitter. It was everywhere. I don't know how you missed them. And it was one of those couples where the second you saw it, you were like, oh, that's going to be a thing. Go get it quick. She has one of the angriest faces I've ever seen a lady have.
Just the look of murder on her face.
Yeah, it is terrifying. And all I could think of was this guy, she's probably on a trip with him. They probably went to Oakland. They're probably from BC, somewhere in BC. And they went, he's like, I know the Seattle trip is the cool one, but we're not going to that one. We're going to Oakland. It's going to be just as good, baby. Don't worry. It's going to be just as good. And that guy planned nothing outside of the baseball game. He just planned the baseball game, nothing else around it. And he probably got too drunk the night before. And she is just sitting at that game, hating him. Because he probably said something really stupid, like, why can't you be more chill? You know? He took a shot, and it failed, and now she's just sitting there being like, enjoy your game. Enjoy your time, because when this is over, I'm destroying you. I'm going to...
You're dead.
The hotel that you got, the crappy hotel, you're not going to have a good sleep tonight. You might sleep in the tub, because I don't think that one had a couch. And I felt for that guy, because I've been there before. When it's just, you're in a fight with your girlfriend, and Joe, you're too young for this. This is only for Austin. Calum, probably no girlfriends wearing clothes like that. just no shot.
It's
guys,
plural, girlfriends.
He's
like
6 foot five, and it's like no shot. like no shot. Austin, you know this one where it's just you're at something, so your girlfriend is putting it on for you, but she's not putting it on. You know, she's just putting on. I won't scream in your face in front of these people. That's the limit that you get. I'm not mixing in a smile. Maybe if someone comes over, I'll crack one quick, like, forced. But everyone in the surrounding knows you're dead. And you're trying to have fun, and you're trying to be like, maybe if I just have fun, enough fun around her, it will permeate through to her, and all will be forgiven.
By osmosis.
Yeah, if I just keep being normal, maybe she'll be normal. No, there's nothing. You're dead. It's just that you're dead. And she was locked in. She was full predator mode. She had the heat-seeking technology. She had all of the gear ready. That guy was dead. So if you're friends with that person, I hope you enjoyed your time with him. I hope you enjoyed knowing that guy, and I hope you enjoyed knowing that couple. Anyways, Jays won. They're back in the wild card spot.
Yeah.
Which is good for them. Good for them. The Texas series looming, Kansas City on the horizon. But yeah, take care of business against this crappy team. And that's just it. Just hang around. I know it's your minor league team. I know it's a group of guys that can't score any runs. But just hang around and beat these teams. And hopefully they can just get maybe a little healthier for this series against the Rangers. Because yeah, that it's feeling more and more like that's what it's all coming down to. Anyways, a quick break. I'm going to watch the last couple minutes of the first half of this Canada game, and then we'll come back and we'll do groupthink that we don't believe in, and a preview for Thursday Night Football, which is right there with my man, Ty Dunn.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
So the move here was to actually play an NFL song. I've been doing that, walking down hallways at home, just doing like the like I'll just find myself now doing different theme songs. Mm-hmm. NFL on Fox is the best one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bam 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 bam. That's strong too, though. That ESPN, it's just like
there's a couple really strong ones.
I know, but it's just
it's hard to pick between them.
The bump, 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 bump. I do my Keeper Fantasy League on ESPN, and true, they use that on their site. So that one has a little bit of a different touch.
Right.
But I still think Fox is the best one. Fox is the one where it's like, it's 1 o'clock. You're strapped in. You're like, this is the full day.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of what is going to be a grind. This is the best part. Every bet I have is alive. All my fantasy teams are good.
Yeah.
I can't wait for today before I feel like
the days have gone downhill.
Yeah.
Yet.
The day goes down fast. When you're waiting for Sunday Night Football and you've been on the couch all day long and everything is dead, all your bets, your teams, yeah, not so good. Ty Dunn, golongtd.com. Which is, you got to subscribe. And you just go to golongtd.com. He's the best in long-form journalism in the business. He just outlined a bunch of different things that he's doing this year on his website. I read it all yesterday. It's all very exciting stuff. Podcasts, newsletters, whatever you want. Q&As, it's all there. Best football coverage in the business. Ty Dunn joins me now. Which one's the best? Which is the best NFL theme song?
Hey, man, it's so good to hear your voice. So good to be back. You know what the go-to move here at Golong headquarters has been? We've got a 4-year-old daughter, 2-year-old son. I've been just films John Facenda music, and I don't know if this is the best parenting, but you know, give him a football, let him run around, let him go nuts, and you know, just narrate it. I do a little play-by-play over the top.
I actually like that. So you're saying that it's not Fox, it's not ESPN, it's you. It's like you're the one who does the best job. You do the best theme song. You do the best play-by-play. I don't have kids, but I'm guessing that is basically the vibe with a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the names of the songs, but those NFL films jingles,
oh, those
right?
Are the like best the ones. Yeah.
Yeah, blasting those. There's a handful on Spotify. Not all of them, but there's some really good.
But the one I always think of is the bon out, bon out, bow now, bow now. You know that one? Bow now, bum 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 bum. That one rules. Those the smartest thing that was ever done by a video game was Madden. I think it was like 06, 07, maybe a little bit later than that. No, maybe a little later, 07, 08, 09, where they had rushing attack and the drills, and they would play those NFL film songs as you played those games. The best. That was the truly perfect moment in football time, was when they had those drills and you could listen to NFL films music as you played rushing attack and tried to do your team's training camp and get your player ready. That was truly the peak of video games. It wasn't Fortnite, Joe. It wasn't Roblox. It was that. It was that. It was when you played video games with your friends. Anyway, so I want to do a couple of things today. I want to talk a little bit about our division, but I want to start with this. And I texted, I told Austin to fire this one over to you, a couple of the topics. Before I get into the Thursday night game and the teams that are involved, before I get into some of your predictions, this is the time of year where everyone's doing all of their preview podcasts, right? It's preview podcast after preview podcast. It's article after article. Everybody's previewing. And I find that a lot of times we end up with groupthink here because you respect certain people in the business. And so you see what they're doing. And then you start to see like, oh, actually like a couple of people have this, like the Steelers started off as a bit of a small story where it was, oh, you know what? The Steelers could be really frisky this year. And then come end of the preseason, you have people going, well, we were at their camp and they've got a tight end who blocks. And it's just, you know, it gets insane. Now they're basically division favorites for a lot of people in the media. Is there a groupthink take right now? A groupthink NFL media take that you just vehemently disagree with as of today?
I love this because you're right. Everybody becomes a monolith thinking the same thing into a season. I've got a couple for you, and I don't really know.
A couple is perfect. We can go through as many as you'd like.
Yeah, because everybody just starts shouting the same thing on TV and on podcasts and in person.
And I'm guilty of it too, by the way. Like, I totally fall for this sometimes too. Like, well, I'll see a little bit of a preseason game. I'll read one article on a camp and I'll be like, ooh, I like this team. And then I'll see a couple people that I like. Like, Daniel Jeremiah will say something and I'm like, ooh, I guess this is the way that it is now. You know, like, I will fall for this too.
I mean, when cameras are following Aaron Rodgers around at Jets camp, and of course he's going to be who he is, right? With a lens right in his face every day. Like, I get such a kick out of people saying, oh my gosh, my opinion of Aaron Rodgers really changed after watching Hard Knocks. Like, it's not, that isn't real football. That's not authentic football. That's basically an infomercial for the NFL where the teams have some editorial fingerprints all over the final product. It's, no thanks. I don't get the hype around the New York Jets. I don't think they're going to be very good. It's going to be hard for the defense to sustain what it did last year with respect to DJ Reed, who I like, did a story on him once. They're not the 85 Bears. I don't think they're going to be close to the 85 Bears. And when you enter a season with a, 38, 39-year-old quarterback, one of your offensive tackles hasn't played football in 2 years. The other one is old, Dwayne Brown, and you don't move well. You didn't see the field well last year. I don't see this ending well for the New York Jets. I think they could finish last in the division. Maybe they even beat the Bills. It wouldn't shock me if they come out like gangbusters and all this hype, all this hope, and they tease for a week or two. I think the wheels will eventually come off for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, and it's going to be ugly.
So I love this, but I also hate this because this ties in directly to one of mine. I talked about this last week. I think that the Jets are extremely overrated. They're starting their schedule with Bills, Cowboys, Patriots, Chiefs, Broncos, and Eagles. It's like there's one guaranteed win on that schedule. There's one. That's before their bye. And then they've got Giants and Chargers coming right out of that bye. And if you think that Aaron Rodgers is going to look the exact same way as he does in Hard Knocks, as he does if his team is below 500 heading into the bye week, he will not be. This is also a guy who, by the way, has been auditioning for things like Jeopardy. He clearly wants a post-career in television. So I'm not fooled at all by the Hard Knocks stuff. I get why Jets fans are excited. And I actually kind of hate pissing on them, Ty, because I actually have two really close Jets fans in my life. And one of them is just like his entire closet is full of jerseys that didn't pan out. You know, like, it's like his best ones are Santana Moss, right? Like, it's not good. It's not good to be a Jets fan over this course of time. Like, your best moments were with Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan. But I've never understood this. And this was a little bit of the, I keep comparing it to the same thing, but it was like when the Browns fans started to get really excited after 1 year of Baker, and they actually at least had 1 year to work off of okay, we've got some success. I don't know why the Jets thing is so hyped up. The offensive line is bad. Dalvin Cook, I don't know what he is, and I don't know if he can stay healthy. And I don't know if Breece Hall, it feels like they're rushing him back a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but all of a sudden, it's like he's going to play week one. He's going to be involved in week one. I don't really understand it given the timeline of the injury. And yes, I really do think the defense is going to be good. But the other part that you didn't mention is the coach. Last year, their coach was bad. There were multiple times during the season where people were questioning this guy. And I remember having a lot of conversations with those close Jets fans about, hey, so do you think this guy's going to get fired? And now it's like, no. He's going to coach up this defense and he's the guy. And I don't see with that team. But I'm going to even take it a step further. I just think that, like, one of my bigger zags is I don't think that the AFC East is all that impressive. I think Buffalo is going to be really good because they have Josh Allen. I think they're going to win a bunch of regular season games. But the rest of the division, it's like it just feels all overhyped. The Dolphins' defense and their secondary especially as they start the year, I don't understand it. I don't really trust their running backs. I don't trust Tua to stay healthy. And then the Patriots, it's like, yeah, I guess. Apparently they had a good draft. Bill Simmons says they did, like the number one Patriots homer. I haven't seen it really anywhere else. But, yeah, it's still Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne. Like, I think even the Bills might have taken a bit of a step back, even though I think that they're still going to be one of the best teams and they have Josh Allen. I look at the AFC East and I'm like, this feels a lot like last year when we got excited about the AFC West. And then when we actually watch it, it's going to be kind of boring.
I love that take. I hadn't really thought of the AFC East through those terms. I think it all kind of hinges on Tua Tagovailoa's health. And does learning jujitsu and practicing how to fall with more grace.
Why did he say that? Why did they let that out? That was so I learned how to roll better. And it was like, yeah, there's going to be 300-pound linemen driving you into the ground. I don't think it's going to be up to you. Like, I watched a lot of Ronda Rousey. It was judo, right, that he learned? It was judo rolls. I don't think that's going to save you, Tua. I don't think that that's inspiring a lot of Dolphins fans to think he's going to stay healthy.
I know. Sadly, there are quarterbacks who can withstand hits and injuries and get through stuff, and those who are just injury prone. And it's not only the concussions, which are horrifying enough, by the way. And I get the optimism out of Tua. He said that he spoke to neurologists and they told him, look, there's no risk long term of CTE because he's not a lineman banging against other linemen 60, 70 times a game. I don't know. I almost wish he would talk to Kevin Cobb. I mean, we had a series on Cobb earlier this offseason where after his fourth concussion against the Washington Redskins in the preseason, he was starting for the Buffalo Bills. He was going to be the guy, not E.J. Manuel 2013. No, he looked into the crowd and just saw a blur of maroon and gold and knew he was done right then. I mean, went to the locker room, laid out his jersey, had tears in his eyes. And, oh, by the way, shortly after that, he's driving around Southwestern Boulevard in Western New York, and the symptoms are so bad. His car just veers into the other lane. He almost gets into a head-on collision. It just cracks the last possible second to save his own life. Look, everybody is affected differently by these concussions. But if we know Tua had, what, two, probably three with the Milano, and what else don't we know about? That's some scary stuff. So he might be one concussion away from needing to retire. I'm no doctor, but, you know, he's got a child now. You got to think about your long-term health. He's got to ask himself those hard questions. And then there's all the other injuries. You know, he's had the hip, he's had all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I think if Tua's healthy, and this league is so zany that maybe that is our bizarre prediction of the day, right? Like, Tua stays healthy for 17 games. It could happen. If he is, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mike McDaniel, just a brilliant offensive mind, they're going to have a counterpunch for what teams did to them last year. And I love Miami. I love the defense with Vic Fangio. They could get to the dang Super Bowl. But holy hell, that is one gigantic if, and it can go either direction. If he gets hurt, right, and they've got a roll with Mike White or Skylar Thompson at some point, it's probably not going to be pretty.
I don't think so either. And not to put too much doom and gloom into this, but because it's a weird topic. It's been a while since we've had an athlete, I think, that's this prominent, where we've talked as much about them being on the fringe of having their career end with a head injury, right? Because we know, we've heard stories like the one that you just detailed, how scary that this can be, right? But yeah, they start the season, it's Chargers and then Patriots. It's like, you're going to start the year with a fully healthy Chargers defense that looks really good out of the gate and can definitely get to the passer. And then Bill Belichick. And yeah, I'm a little nervous for Tua, and I'm nervous watching these games, and I feel uncomfortable watching these games. And it's just like the only guy that I can really remember that was like this very recently was actually a hockey player named Clark MacArthur, where he took so many concussions that it had to be his family that started to intervene and ask him to stop playing the game, because these guys love it, right? How are you to tell them to take away the thing that has been the biggest thing in their lives other than their families? It's a hard conversation for them to have, but I just... Yeah, the way that Tua got hurt last year, the way that he got hit last year, I have a really, really difficult time thinking that he's going to be able to maintain his health throughout the course of this entire season. So, yeah, I look at this AFC East as a whole, and I don't really love it. And I mentioned to you, I like the Bills, and you're always a guy who's been, you know, Western New York, very plugged in with this team, really understanding of this team. And I'm trying not to overreact, because I think that this happens sometimes too, and it can work in the Bills' favor, is like the post-hype team, where last year was all about the Bills, all about the Bills. Now you look at their team this year and you go, well, what's really all that different? You know, they've got another year, but then there's just like the stuff underneath with Diggs that was a little worrisome. I don't know if how much their pass rush is going to improve, especially given that Von Miller isn't there to start. I like that he's going to come back later in the year. But where are you at right now with the idea that, yeah, the Bills are going to take a step back in all of this?
I can see it, right? There are the red flags that you do see in these teams that have a Super Bowl window. Look, is the window shut? Is it closing? No. But some of these draft picks have to start panning out. Mm. You just traded Boogie Basham to the New York Giants. He's a second-round pick. A.J. Epinesa hasn't given. Greer Elam is into his second season at cornerback out of Florida. He's a backup, you know, and they'll spin it and say, well, Christian Bedford has been unbelievable, and we didn't see that. Well, okay, fine. If you draft a cornerback in the first round, keep starting cornerback. He's not out there. So I think that this stuff adds up, because they can't just go out and start signing free agents left and right. They had that luxury early on in Josh Allen's career to just have the richest defensive line at one point, the same defensive line that couldn't fluster Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow when it mattered most. They're going to put up good regular season numbers under Sean McDermott, but it's about the playoffs for this team. And if they're going to take that next step, if they're going to get over that hurdle, they've got to get more out of these other players. Look, Allen's fine. Diggs is fine. Von Miller's fine. Like, they've got the star power. But what happened when Patrick Mahomes re-injured that ankle? I mean, when he initially injured it against Jacksonville in the divisional rounds, and then hurt it again in the Super Bowl, you saw rookies stepping up all over the field. Round one through round seven, Isaiah Pacheco, they got contributions. The Bills need those kind of contributions out of their young players. I don't know if they're going to get it or not, I honestly. I mean, it hasn't been a complete bust. Some players have panned out. I think Gabe Davis is going to be huge this year. I really like him healthy. But outside of that, yeah, these drafts are kind of spotty.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point that's actually a little overlooked. And you can even extend that with guys like James Cook, right, where we're looking at this and saying, okay, you guys really going to be able to run the ball this year? Is this going to be the time? You want Josh Allen to run it less. That's the word out of the team. And yet I keep looking at those backs and saying, am I really going to see Damian Harris and James Cook carry the ball in meaningful moments down in the red zone, or am I going to see Josh Allen do it over and over again? I think the thing you said about Gabe Davis is huge. He needs to be big, because like that's one of the big keys for me, is I feel like the defense is going to be good, not great. And the big wild card piece is going to be if Von Miller comes back healthy and looks like Von Miller. But now he's 34 and this is a major injury. And so I would imagine that they're going to be super patient. They're going to get him fully healthy, and then they're going to run that out there and test it. But yeah, to me, it feels like a little bit too much for the pass rush to be on that, like a guy in that scenario, 34 and coming off the injury. But for the offense, I just think like they need one more thing. So it's just like, if it's James Cook, fine. If it's Gabe Davis, fine. If it's Dalton Kincaid, fine. But they're going to have another piece that really feels consistently dangerous that's outside Diggs and Allen.
I totally agree. And, you know, sometimes you get honesty from players who are no longer there. Isaiah McKenzie hopped on one of our happy hours this offseason and articulated some of the issues on offense pretty well. I know a lot of those Bengal players got mad when he told us that it would have been a different game in a dome. He didn't mean that as a slight toward the Bengals. He really did mean it as a critique of the Bills, that they were built.
It would have had to be quite a different game.
They're losing that game regardless. They just got absolutely curb stomped.
They're like, we only would have lost by 2 to 3 scores as if we were in a dome. It's like, that's a tough one. But yeah, sorry, go on.
But you know, when Isaiah breaks down the offense under Ken Dorsey, and I'm not a Dorsey hater. Like, he catches a lot of flack. Look at the numbers. They were pretty dang good on offense. But with Dable, it was a lot of short to intermediate stuff. That short passing game with Cole Beasley kind of supplementing a running game that was non-existent at times. With Dorsey, it was so boom or bust, right? I mean, that's why Gabe Davis has like these insane games and then can disappear. I mean, if they're hitting that deep ball, they're going to win. There was just very little underneath, very little rhythm, just one play setting up the next. Isaiah thought that he was going to be that slot receiver. He won the job in camp and is the first to say, look, I shouldn't have came back from the concussion in September that quickly. I did have drops, but he never really was used like Beasley. They never really wanted to get the short stuff going. It was, all right, if we're going to hit a bomb or two, we're good. If not, things got stagnant. So I think that we're kind of getting to the same place here where a Dalton Kincaid as a big tight end in the slot could be that player. A more consistent, healthier Gabe Davis could be that player. When is the last time we saw the Buffalo Bills run a screen pass to James, to anybody? I mean, James Cook would seem to be perfect for that kind of play. You never see it. So one way or another, they've got to get more outside of Stephon Diggs, because look, Diggs isn't getting any younger too. And you don't know when these receivers are going to lose a step.
I think that when it comes to losing a step, though, I'm still way more concerned about the defense. I could see a scenario where, like, the safeties have kind of made this defense special for a while. Like, they've been a big part of why the defense has been what they've been. And both guys are 32 years old. And I just think, like, once you start to enter that territory as a football player, and I hate being that guy who's, like, raises his eyebrow at anybody who's, like, yeah, over 30 years old. But, yeah, I start to get a little suspicious of it. You got Matt Milano back there who's just, like, struggled to stay healthy. You mentioned the draft picks that have missed, and yeah, the Von Miller part of this equation, there's more question marks with this Bills defense than there should be. And then when I look at the depth behind the guys and say, well, are they deep? You go, no, because like you mentioned, they missed on a lot of those picks. It's just like, to me, the offense has to be special and buy that unit time to gel and to find out who they are. And if they aren't healthy and if they aren't special, that it's like, don't worry, we can still win games the way that we did 2 years ago where we lost, ironically, to the Chiefs, but where it's like, don't worry, the offense is going to be able to go up and down the field. And for that to be more reliable, I think that they're going to have those other pieces be a little bit more consistent and have it not just feel like, don't worry, Josh Allen's going to put the cape on every game. I think that we've started to see that hit the limit a little bit. So the last thing on the Bills, though, before we move on to more of these topics is, do you think that the Diggs stuff is dead? Like, you're plugged in with that team. Are we done with this? Because it did fade away. It was like a big story. It felt like a huge deal. And then it kind of went away. And I wonder where it is today.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to publicly sell a narrative that everything is fine. He's a team captain. Uh-huh. And winning cures all. I mean, if they're winning games and he's getting the ball and he's productive, everything will be fine. Like, but that's not how the seasons have ended. I mean, they've ended in heartbreak. They've ended in the AFC Championship game. They've ended in 13 seconds. They've ended in a no-show against the Cincinnati Bengals. And Diggs was clearly unhappy in each of those moments. Mm-hmm. There is something here. Like, the fact that he left day one of minicamp and had some type of butting up heads with Sean McDermott. Mm-hmm. There's something going on with Josh Allen. I mean, we can't just write this all off as nothing. Like, there's something simmering beneath the surface. But guess what? That's what you knew when you traded for him. It was the same deal in Minnesota, justifiably so. He didn't like where the offense was going. with Mike Zimmer trying to, you know, run the ball more and make things simpler. His beef wasn't with Kirk Cousins. It was with the coaching. That's the risk with a lot of these receivers. And guess what? I take that risk 10 out of 10 times.
For sure.
He's that talented that you still want him on your team. And frankly, more of the roster should have had his urgency against the Bengals in that game. I mean, they were sleepwalking through that thing. I get it. Diggs was pissed afterwards and caught a lot of flack. And, yeah, you should stand there and answer questions like everybody else. But maybe you guys should kind of have the same temperament that he did. Get a little mad. So we'll see what happens. I guess that's my long-winded way of saying, like, I wouldn't just dismiss this completely. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens when adversity strikes and he's unhappy. Look, Isaiah told us on the show at Go Long several times that, look, Diggs gets pretty mad out there. And Isaiah was kind of his babysitter at times, trying to talk him off the ledge. He's volatile, and it's a matter of kind of harnessing that volatility for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's clearly a competitor. It seems like he's getting more and more desperate to win as his career, gets a little bit longer. I think this is basically like a good way to just kind of put a bow on this AFC East stuff is that I think there's a lot of expectations with these teams and even the Patriots with like the weird Kraft talking about the one in the playoffs and the pressure on Belichick. I don't buy any of that stuff. Like if we want to do a narrative that I think we can put to bed is the whole idea that Belichick is like coaching for his job in some way, that he's not going to become the winningest coach in NFL history with the Patriots unless it's like by his own accord. But even still, it's like the Patriots, they're supposed to win games this year. I think that they at least want to see that the team is taking a step in the right direction, right? And then same thing, it's just Dolphins. It's to be a contender. Bills, it's to be a Super Bowl champion. That's what they're putting up in their camp, right, is the banners with the sights on the Lombardi trophy. And Jets, I think it's the same thing. It's like, yes, a little bit less than Super Bowl or bust because their fan base has been so tortured. But I do think it's like, yeah, they want to be a contender. They want to be a team that's talked about in those conversations. And I see these roadmaps for them, and you go, okay, well, yeah, obviously you need a lot of luck and skill and all this different stuff to be that. I think that the expectations for every single one of those teams can be derailed too quickly with some of the stuff that we've talked about today. Anyways, let's keep it moving to something else. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest in terms of groupthink that you don't believe in?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I will have to pop in like 5-10 minutes. I wish I could tease it. Well, we've got a third show at Go Long, and we're recording our first episode here in a little bit. So,
we got
a little time here. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all good. Here's the one that I'll put you with the last 5 minutes. So we've got Chiefs and Lions, and I think that this is a case of two teams. One that's getting a ton of hype in the Lions, right? Just an inordinate amount of. This offense is going to be special. This offense could be one of the best in the NFL. And then the other with the Chiefs, where it feels like, remember when we hit that phase with Tom Brady where you weren't allowed to criticize him anymore? You weren't even allowed to ask the question of, is he getting too old? It feels a little bit like that with the Chiefs and their pass catchers. Like Travis Kelce, what was the injury yesterday? He hurt his hamstring?
It was a hyperextended knee.
Hyperextended knee. So he hyperextends his knee. And how old is Travis Kelce now? 33 years old? Somewhere in there? Somewhere in that range, right?
30, 31, but it does seem like he's played forever, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
He's 33.
Yeah, he's 33. So
he is 33. Yeah, you're right.
He's 33 with a lot of miles. So he hyperextends the knee, and they don't have Chris Jones. And by all accounts, the Chiefs have a very good defense this year. And hey, they nailed that draft last year. They're young, they're cheap, they're fast. I believe in the Chiefs' defense. I don't think that they're one of the best five units in the NFL, but I do think that they're very good. They're very competent. But Pick either one of those teams. Like, is it fair to question how dominant the Chiefs are going to be this year? I think that they will figure this thing out come the end of the season and the Sky Moores, whatever. But it's like Kadarius Toney, Band-Aid. Sky Moore, I have no idea. A group of running backs that's like solid, but that's not the way that they're going to win football games. The best quarterback of his generation, no doubt about it. But now an aging Kelce, and yeah, like, I don't know who's the Chiefs' third receiver. Does anybody know in this room? No. I don't know.
Rice, right?
Yeah.
Rasheen Rice? Justin Ross.
It's just like they feel really,
guys.
They feel really thin at the playmaker position all of a sudden with Kelce. Like if we have to watch this game Thursday night and there's no Travis Kelce, I wonder what that's going to look like. Took them a while to figure it out last year.
I think that they deserve the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. They're always hosting the AFC Championship game, not only in it. And Patrick Mahomes is going to win more Super Bowls. But this is different than, I think, replacing Tyreek Hill, because with Kelce, so much of that success, it's predicated on second reaction, improvisational, creativity, everything that makes Patrick Mahomes so special outside of the confines of what Andy Reid calls. And Andy Reid is an unbelievable play caller, but I don't care. Like, if you're rolling the ball out there to a lot of receivers who've never been in that moment or haven't played much at all, it's going to be a lot harder. One thing I'll say is they're not exactly playing the 85 Bears. I mean, the Detroit Lions in this game anyways, they completely reset their secondary because they needed to. It's going to be better, but how much better? It might take a little bit for the likes of, you know, Cam Sutton, Emmanuel Moseley. You know, they drafted Brian Branch. They still got Tracy Walker around. It's going to be better over the long haul, but I think it might take a little time. So if there is a game that maybe you do want to just rest Travis Kelce and let him kind of ease back, because you want him for January. You don't care that much about September. It'd be this game. I still think that they can win this game. I kind of like Detroit in the upset, but I don't think it'll be a total disaster given what they're going to face Thursday.
I got to tell you, though, I am buying the Lions hype. I just look at the NFC, and I think it's pretty crap. And I think that everything that I've seen in terms of their division, the teams that have to win, I actually think Minnesota is just going to find ways to win games. They'll be around it. I think Green Bay is going to be like around 500. Chicago will be a little bit better, but I still think that they're going to be dragging up the rear in that division, which is going to, I think, disappoint a lot of Bears fans. We'll see, but I don't think that DJ Moore now is just going to fundamentally change what was a putrid passing attack last year. What's the offensive coordinator's name? Ben Johnson. Like, I like what they did last year. I love the idea of them adding the Laporta kid and the Gibbs. It feels like a fast offense. And then they're going to add, when is Jameson Williams comes back? Is it a 3-week suspension? Is it more than that?
Yeah, I think so. It was the shorter.
I was going to say, I think it's only like 3 to 4. What is it, Joe? You got it?
No. Second-year receiver is Williams, suspended for 6 games.
Oh, it's 6. Okay, either way, they're going to get him back at some point this year, and I love Amon St. Brown. I think he's the truth. In fact, I have to believe that because I paid a lot of money for him in my fantasy league, like a lot. I kind of think that they're going to be around. I'm buying the Lions stock. I believe in it, and I wonder if Thursday night they can kind of win one and then just be this incredible talk for 3 days, right, where everyone's going, hey, we told you, the Lions, they beat the Chiefs, the Lions, and then at the end of the year, it's like, one was a regular season team, one was a playoff team. And the Chiefs are there at the end, and the Lions are not. That's just my early prediction with those two teams. Anyways, Ty, I know you got to run. Good luck with everything. Again, if you like long-form NFL journalism like I do, yeah, you got to subscribe. GoLongTD.com. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Yeah, hey, you're the man. We've got a lot of Lions stuff up, too, if people want to subscribe and check it out. And it'll bring everything you said to life. So, yes, GoLongTD.com. Thanks so much, brother.
Hey, no problem, man. Anytime. There he goes. Ty Dunn. I'm going to save my bets for this game for my Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'll put them on Twitter and Instagram. So follow at JD Bunkus. But yeah, I think I told you already that, like, no Chris Jones and no Travis Kelce is looming. And if you're the Chiefs, like, are you going to put Chris Jones in this game after not having things figured out? Not having him be working out with the team, rushing him back for a Thursday night football game when you know you have a long rest week coming up right after. Mm-hmm. And are you going to do the same with Travis Kelce? Like, I don't know. I didn't look at the lines this morning, but my guess is the smart move for a team that's trying to win a Super Bowl would not be take two of your three most important players, because that's what they are, unquestionably. And rush him into a Thursday night football game where who cares? It's about Super Bowls for you. Yep. It's the same thing with like the stuff I talked about with Von Miller, why I like it for the Bills. He's going to play less regular season games. It's basically load management. You're going to take him into the year, unveil him, what, week 4 or 5? I think it's 5 because he started on the pup list. Mm-hmm. So unveil him week 5, week 6. Limited snap counts, depending on where you're at in the division and what you need with the games. I would be doing the same thing with your two stars of your Kansas City.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey, hyperextended knee, sure, he's fine. Sure, he wants stats. Sure, he wants to dominate. But this is about Super Bowls for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And same goes for Chris Jones. So, yeah, the Lions, however, it's all about regular season. And this is a hungry offense with a offensive coordinator that I still don't understand how he didn't get a job as a head coach in the NFL. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me how not one team thought, yeah, we're going to pivot to the guy who had one of the most successful offenses in the NFL. Like they could be the best offense in the NFL. I actually should be looking at that future as the Lions to lead the NFL in passing yards, or the Lions to have the best offense in the NFL total yards. I think that's actually a bet. Probably doesn't have great value. My guess is that they're probably somewhere in the top 3-4. But still, I'd be taking a look at that one. I would take a long, hearty look, just like I have been, at many other bets throughout the week. I have probably, hold on, let me just go look here.
How many futures you got cooked up?
Eight.
Eight?
Yeah. I've got eight futures.
Nice.
Some are more conservative than others. I'll post some later. I'll post these later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like that now these bets have gotten into a place where you can do the entire division in the order. I like that. I've obviously got division winners.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what a couple things actually I didn't get to with Ty. This ties into the Chiefs thing. I think the Chiefs are going to be more of a contender this year than the Chargers, but I don't think that they'll win their eighth straight division title. I think the Chargers are going to win the division this year. And I hate the Chargers, and I've never been a Chargers believer. Honestly, the Chargers have been the most overhyped team in my life. Like, as a football fan, in my life, since the mid-2000s, they have been the most overhyped team. They got the fancy jerseys. They've always had sexy players, you know, like guys that everybody loves. LT brought a lot of people my age into that team, and the Powder Blues. Powder Blue, I would actually like to apologize to the masses that Powder Blue is, I know like the Blue Jays have theirs, and it's an 80s, you could say it's an 80s color, but really it's the millennials that made Powder Blue the phenomenon that it is to this day. Like we loved North Carolina. We had Baby Blue Sound Crew when we were in elementary school. Like Baby Blue really popped off because of the millennials. It's a tough part of our legacy.
Well, if you look at every baseball team, they all have a Powder Blue jersey.
It's a candy ass color, and it's not a tough color. It looks nice.
Yeah.
And then you see it on just a normal person and you go, nah, save that for the athletes.
The Argos wear it too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's nice on athletes.
Oh, on athletes.
If you're big and jacked, guess what? It's kind of like when you look at a model in a magazine and you go, I think I should buy this shirt.
Right.
This shirt looks so cool on this super hot guy. And then you buy that shirt, but you're round and not 6'3", and it doesn't look hot. It looks stupid as hell. It looks like Kalem's hoodie. He's like, he saw that on someone cool, on probably some like rapper, and he was like, this is so cool, man. I'm going to ask my parents for $1,000 for this hoodie. And then he bought it, and it was like, he walked into work today, and I went, look at this giant idiot.
James Harden, actually.
Yeah, like it was James Harden? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I knew it. I looked at it for 1 second. I was like, dude, someone way cooler than you wore this, and you thought that was you. You thought you were him. Wrong. Wrong, Kalem, wrong. He's young. He'll learn. He'll get there someday. The point is, the Chargers have always been overrated. That's the point of this rant. The Chargers have always been overrated. I've never bought the Chargers hype. I've never believed that the Chargers have been the team. I've always enjoyed looking at Chargers fans or backers and saying, how could you buy the hype of the Chargers? And I think we've actually now reached the point where they've gone a little bit underrated because people are so tired of backing the Chargers and they're so tired of questioning the Chiefs that we've got a perfect storm of people looking at this and going, actually, we can't do this again. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about this division again after last year with the AFC West, where people were picking the Broncos and the Raiders to win the division.
Yeah.
We can't do this again. We can't do this again. Just write down Chiefs and let's move along and then put the Chargers down as a wild card team and let's just keep it moving. But Chargers have historically been really solid against the Chiefs. I think that they can split those games in the division. And I just look at the Chargers right now, fully healthy, really good reports about Kenneth Murray, the linebacker. Apparently, he's taken a big step. Derwin James, healthy. The only guy that Travis Kelce I've ever seen talk about on a podcast about embarrassing him. Just a solid team. They added another playmaker on offense. The Eckler thing is a little spooky in terms of what's going to happen there and like what's behind him, and that he's sort of an injury guy that was been healthy and he had an awesome year last year. But Herbert is going to start to throw the ball down the field this year. And if those pass catchers can stay healthy, they've got four big boys who catch balls in that offense now. And I like where that team's at in the progression. I like where that team is. Health is always going to be a big factor for that team. It always feels like week two, three, you look at their team and it's like four of their important guys are banged up or on the IR, or you're waiting to see what Keenan Allen's doing or what Mike Williams is doing. I get it. I just think the Chargers are going to be a really, really good regular season team this year. I think it's really stupid to make like the Super Bowl predictions. And I know it's mostly fun and I do it too for futures and MVP, stuff like that. But I'm just trying to project out the regular season. And I think like if we're doing the group think thing that I don't believe in, it's that the Chiefs are just write it down and give them the eighth division title. Do I think that they're going to be around it? Yeah, I don't think that the Chiefs are going to be some middling team this year. Do I think that they're in danger? No, not really. But I just don't love that their number one receiver this year is the injury guy that they picked up from the Giants, who were like, yeah, take him, because we just don't think that he can stay healthy. Like, Juju Smith-Schuster was at least a name, was at least a guy who played important games for them last year, was important for them last year. They already showed that they can really replace Tyreek Hill and win a Super Bowl. So I'm not worried about the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl. I just think it's going to take them a little time for them to get these pass catchers down. And I could see it being frustrating for them early. I could see games where it's like their most reliable receiver out of the gate is Jerick McKinnon. Where they're trusting him out of the backfield to catch passes more than they are Sky Moore and whoever the hell else the other receivers. I think Valdez-Scantling is still there, but never forget when people are like, do you know Marquez Valdez actually faster than Tyreek Hill down the field? This could be more. It's like Tyreek Hill goes out and has this incredible season. And Valdez-Scantling, I don't think had... What was his stats last year? He must be in front of you. Did Marquez Valdez-Scantling have 2 touchdowns last year?
I'm going to take a look right now. Regular season, no.
Yeah. So he had 1? He had to have 1. Marquez Valdez-Scantling had to have 1 touchdown last year after being
He did have 2 last year.
Oh, okay. So he had 2. Okay. All right. So the Tyreek replacement, the guy who's faster down the field than Tyreek, ends up having
687 yards.
Yeah. What a stud. Woof. Anyway, that's one of your most important guys this year. I can't wait. I just cannot wait. But yes, I love the Lions. I love the Lions. I know I'm the guy who says the cursed franchises, don't get your hopes up. The Lions are actually so cursed, so irrelevant, so bad, that I'm like, no, you must enjoy this. Because, like, New York has New York media backing them, right? Cleveland Browns have a huge fan base, too, where it's like they've been loud. They've had they at least had a little bit of a moment recently. I feel bad for Browns fans. I do kind of root for them, too. But Detroit fans have had nothing. Nothing. You had Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford, who you overrated into oblivion. And then he wins a Super Bowl without you. Believe, Lions fans. I'm riding with you this year. Lions are definitely my number 2 team this year. No question about it. That's my NFC team behind the Hawks. I'm not even talking about the Hawks. It's terrifying. I think it's going to be bad. I think we're going to be middle of the pack. Anyway, let's go do podcast. Let's take a quick break. Let's do some pod. You know, I talk a lot about starting to get old and how it's like, I've never been old before. So now it's happening to me and I'm experiencing it in real time. I know I'm not that old, I'm in my mid-30s, but it's still just like the youth is escaping. The one thing where I always get like little self-conscious about is whenever something happens to my technology, like just happened right now with our Google Doc, and I don't know how to fix it immediately. And I'm like pressing, I'm like, how do I do this? And I'm trying my only tricks, right? Which is like edit undo.
Yeah.
That's all I...
Turn it off, turn it on.
That's literally what I did. I did edit undo, and then I turned it off, and I shut everything down. I restarted it.
Yeah.
And when I do that, I feel so helpless, and I just see the future where this stuff is going to get... I've never been good with technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even at the jump, there were some guys and girls, they loved it.
They want to dive right in. They could spend time. They're like you, Jobo, where it's like you want to sit in front of a screen and you want to tinker with little edits with your graphic design and you want to touch up a little bit. Ooh, I think that the color of this jersey could be a little Dylan Brooks, another big three, 92-76 Canada, as we're sitting here right now.
Yeah.
7 minutes left. Beaten Slovenia into the ground. Mm-hmm. Let's hope this holds. I got to tell you, Luka Doncic, such a crybaby. I would be embarrassed to be a Mavericks fan.
Really?
I would be embarrassed. He's an embarrassing guy. And his whole team, like, they've got guys with frosted tips still in Slovenia. They're like, frosted tips just got here. Yeah, exactly. They all just try to look like Luka, but they frost their tips. It's just not, it's not good.
They just look like alternate versions of Luka.
It's not good. It's really not good. Like, anyway, that's my end of my Luka hate, but it's just, he's James Harden. I don't know why people are confused. I just saw James Harden play. We just watched James Harden's entire career, and Luka is James Harden exactly. He's a ball stopper who takes all the shots, who gets a ton of stats, and that everyone's like, wow, he's so great. And you go, why doesn't he win? I know he's young.
You answered your own question.
Just saying. He has a lot of James Harden trajectory. Why isn't this guy in better shape, you ask?
Shane Art.
This year he was supposed to be in the best shape ever. That's all I saw was, hey, he's climbing mountains now, and he's in great shape. And I see him at this tournament. I'm like, looks like Luka Doncic to me. Anyway, technology, I hate it. And I just fear. I fear being old and trying to figure something out. I'm like, I'm going to definitely be one of those guys, like my dad was, where I just send an email that's a forwarded email and it's got like all the just big, massive graphics in it that are all weirdly pixelated. And you got to scroll down like 35 minutes to find one little video that's embedded in the email. That's going to be me. I'm going to be that guy.
I'm going to get those from you someday.
That's a pretty sick guy to be, though, if you really think about it. That's way cooler than the alternative, which is like the Jobo thing where you're on the computer all the time, right?
You hired me to be on the computer.
Yeah. So what? I also tell you to go outside all the time. I'm like, go outside and have some fun. Anyway. All right. What do we guys want to do today? Mackie's already on the computer. He's typing away. He's doing something else. What are you doing back there? Like, just do the show. Like, why are you typing?
I am doing the show, JD. That is all I do.
That's all you do? What are you typing in text?
Callum's new. We're working on podcast descriptions. We're trying to add some detail to it.
Hey, guess who never, the podcast description, keep it light. If you imagine ever reading a podcast description being like, I need the details here. It's like, he talked about the teams you like. That's why you're here.
Patriots.
No, it's like, today's a football one where it's just like, today JD talked about football. And there you go. And
that's what you want your podcast description to be. We can have it like that going forward, sir.
Oh my God. That's actually what I want. I'm begging you. There's nothing more cringe than when
JD
talked
about football.
I know.
When people
I hate
ask
it.
Why? Yeah, I'll be like, refer to 10:04, please.
Yeah, go to 10:04. Just put football. And if they really care about the timestamps, you go Jets timestamp, Lions timestamp. That's
Bills,
it.
Timestamp.
Little as possible. Whenever I read those things, I'm always thinking cringe. I'm like, who would ever read these things and want to listen to a podcast with this description? Today, the JD broke down the awful, truly terrible. That is my worst nightmare. I think everybody that writes descriptions for anything is just awful, 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 awful stuff. Anyway, who cares?
Tell us how you really feel.
No, that's literally what I'm doing. all right, so we got to talk about Lyon. Did you get the audio of the Lyon guy? Get the audio.
One second.
It's in French, but get it because it's still
so good.
So good. I thought that was what I was trying to make clear by sending it yesterday, but I should have said. I was so jacked up about this, though. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me what... I don't know. Joe, if you don't have answers to this today, by the way, you're fired. Like, you're so fired. Soccer is your only domain on the show. You have to edit the videos and know about soccer. Like, you have no other use here. Like, there's nothing else that you do that I actually need.
Oh, thanks, man.
No. There's nothing else you do that I need from you. I need soccer and videos. Everything else that you do is a gift from me to you. It's a gift from me to you to ever let you comment on anything else. Never forget, you're the guy who genuinely thought that the NFL was admitting that they scripted football games. Like, you are dumb as a rock.
A bit
and
of
the fact that I let
there.
You talk on here is crazy town to so many people. Even though you are the little brother of the show. Okay. So, do they, like, they lost to PSG.
4-1.
Four one.
Yes.
What was this game?
It was a regular season game.
Just a regular season
game. Regular season game, but...
They're the top two teams. They're the two big dogs. Yeah. Hold on. This is what I know. Like, you tell me.
Okay, okay.
So these are the two big dog clubs.
Two of the big dogs, yeah.
Who's the other big dog that's
Marseille,
bigger than them?
Marseille, Lille is also in there.
But they're not as big as those two, are they?
Marseille has a ton of history, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. Okay, so then fine. They're two of the big dogs.
Yeah.
Is this... But would this not be like the French Derby or whatever? Is this? This is not the big game. This is not... Le grand match, like it is
one of them. Like, okay, two Joe teams.
It is called something.
No, I was making that up because El Clasico.
Okay, sorry,
you know?
I thought
La Clasica.
I was gonna say because Joe. Here's the thing: Joe is the soccer guy, but Austin also knows soccer. And this is the thing: is like once you start to trip on yourself, and you're like, "Well, this club is actually got a lot of history," and then Austin can just come in and be like, "Yeah, man, this is the biggest game."
Joe, the two big teams are Lyon, PSG.
Yeah, you
don't
thank
go
you.
To
that's
Lille.
That's,
yeah,
that's thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is what I'm saying. Like. This is what I mean about this kid. Like,
was I wrong?
I tried. He's like, was I wrong? Lille is as big as PSG? The team that had Neymar?
That.
Yeah, you did. You just basically
did. Say that.
Anyway, Joe, anyway. If you can try, just try a little harder. Actually, try a little less hard to get rid of all your stupid soccer. Lille. I think Lille, the Lille game. I've literally never heard of Lille. I've heard of those two
Jonathan
teams.
Jonathan David plays for Lille.
Who cares? He's irrelevant. He sucks. He can't even. He's the worst player in Team K. He scored no goals. Actually, that's not true. I don't want to say that. I love Jonathan David. And also, I'm trying to get him for the spot.
Come on, Jonathan David.
No, I love Jonathan David, actually, yeah. For real. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it's Lille. Dude, shut up. Okay, so this is the big Le Grand match.
Yes, it is a big one.
Oui.
That is for sure.
Okay. So
usually one that Lyon does not lose 4-1, but
so that's what I'm saying. So who's usually the big dog of that? Is it it's between those two, but is Lyon usually the big dog?
Well, recent memory it's PSG for sure.
Okay, but Lyon has been, because I know Lyon. Like if I see someone in a Lyon jersey, I can be like, yo, that's a Lyon jersey.
Well, back in like early 2000s, Lyon won 7 league titles in a row.
So there we go.
So they used to be the dogs.
Okay.
In France.
So this is what I'm saying. These are the two big dogs. They're going head to head. And this is just a regular season game?
Yes. It's the fourth regular season game. Lyon lost three of their first four.
So this had nothing to do with a cup?
No.
This had nothing to do with the top of the table?
Well, it could later in the season, but right now, no. Yeah.
This wasn't the last game?
It's September 6th.
So just to show you. So this is the thing. This is what I love the most about soccer by a million miles. I hate that fans get violent with one another, like the hooliganism, and that was like glorified for a little while. They were making movies about it, being like, wouldn't this be cool with Charlie Hunnam? And I went, no, this is very not cool. They're just playing sports. This is supposed to be
shooting
fun where you take your kid to this, and yeah, they're stabbing each other over it. It's dumb as hell.
Yeah.
They can't go to some of these games because they're getting in fights. They got to put you in a different section. That I think that is dumb. That is not cool. That doesn't. When people are like, our fans are the most dangerous fans, I go, sick, cool. You should all be locked
you're
proud
up. Of that?
You should all go immediately away. Anyway, so there's a regular season game.
Yes.
Why? And a fan gets the microphone, and all the players of Lyon have to go over and listen to this fan. But hold on, before we play the audio, Austin, I know you got it now. Why? What is happening here? How? Because I read one article and they gave me no context. It was just like, this is awesome. And I went, I completely agree. But do we know who this fan is? He's not the owner. It's just like, is he the supporter section leader? They pick one representative.
Yeah.
Is this a regular thing? Do they do this after every game?
Not every game. No.
Why did they do this? Like, what happened here? How did this? Well, Joe, you better have answers for me. Why did they do this? How did this come about?
It's a leader from the supporters group. He had the big megaphone, whatever. And
but it wasn't really just a megaphone. It was a microphone.
Yeah, megaphone.
Yeah, I thought he had a
loudspeaker.
Yeah, he was on the loudspeaker. No, megaphone though is like a hostage. He's like, please release the hostages. Yeah, that's a megaphone. Yeah, no.
Well,
he was mic'd up.
Like they're mad. The last couple of years, like 3 years ago, they were in the Champions League semifinals.
No, I get
now,
they're mad. I'm saying, what gives this man the right to do it? This little rotund man to yell at these soccer players, these professional athletes. I love it. I just want to say, I back this guy. I am this guy. That is me. I am that guy. I would kill to be that guy for the Blue Jays this year. Like, do you know how badly I would love to be at the Rogers Center? And then they're just like, we now go live.
They all line
to
up
behind
in the first
home
baseline.
Plate. And there's JD at the front being like, you idiots, most of us, you know, how many outs on the base pass before we figure it out? You know, like that's, That's what this guy did. So why did he get this privilege?
Well, so typically after every game, the players go over to the like their fans and they'll give them applause and everything like
that. Yeah. I've seen that. I've been there for that. I'm part of Canada's supporter section.
They were in pure shame. Yeah. And then the guy had the megaphone and he just started yelling at them and they all just stood there and took it.
So the players didn't have to take it.
They didn't have to. They could have walked away, but they just stood there and they took it apparently, which is...
Okay, so play the audio and then I'll tell you what he said. So fire.
You listen to me. For more context on that too, JD, Leon is last place in the table right now after the four games of the season.
They're
a historically great club. They are in a little bit of financial trouble as well.
Oh, but that's how it's that guy's not yelling at the club though. This guy's just full supporter section with the microphone. Anyway, what I need to figure out from the story is as follows. How the hell did this guy get this microphone?
He's the leader of the ultra group.
So what?
Most of them have
microphones. So if you're the leader, like European soccer is different because it's a lot more community based. So he is the leader in a community there where he has been elected by the fan group to be the voice of the fans.
They all have the microphones. TFC has it too, though.
AC Milan with the
I've seen the guys. The guys in the supporter section don't have microphones that you can hear down on the pitch here in North America. That is not a thing.
No, they don't.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not as loud.
This is not a thing that I'm used to, is a guy having a microphone that they can hear down in the field. That's a huge stadium.
Yeah.
That's a massive stadium, and those players can hear him clear as day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They can hear every word he's saying.
And anyway, I thought that these guys were forced to listen to this, but anyway, the leader is the leader for a reason, because he's the man. This guy's the man. He said to them, "You wear the OL jersey. Others have worn it, glorified it. You don't have the right to tarnish it." That's so good. Tarnish it. Dude, that is weighty. That is a weighty. Yeah, that's a weighty dig. And this guy's just like, he's Eminem in 8 Mile when he's doing the...
Oh yeah.
He's just like, yeah, I do live in a trailer. You know, he's on fire. Clarence. It's just like he Clarenced these guys so hard. And they're all just looking at him and they look sad and they're just crushed.
Yeah.
5-1 they lost.
4-1.
Oh, 4-1? 4-1. Oh, this one got it wrong. Eurofoot.com.
I never trust Eurofoot.com.
They lost 4-1.
Yeah, Eurofoot.com, Lyon ultras after 5-1 loss to PSG. Ouch, like, way to get it wrong. Way to screw me over. Yeah, and the one right below it is 4-1. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's 4-1.
Yeah, and there's some... The other guy that tried to translate it said they were people who wore the Lyon shirt before you who gave everything for it. Don't defile/smear it.
Yeah.
So whatever the interpretation is exactly, it's pretty intense.
It's a heavy sentence.
Anyway, I think that they should have this. Like, this is the thing that we obviously... Sports have gotten so... embarrassing in terms of the way that we talk about athletes. It's like you either have a show where you have to really tiptoe around stuff now, because if you're too direct, if you're too intense, you can get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you can get in trouble anywhere. And it's just not from you. It's from fans as well, because you end up getting, again, these fan accounts that I'm guessing Calum has one for the Calgary Flames. He's probably like, if you ever make fun of, you know, like, he's
a Habs fan.
You're a Habs fan?
Habs fan, man.
I do
like
show.
My Flames though. Do like the Flames, but no, born and raised Habs fan.
JD is seething right now.
Oh, I mean, it's just so funny because, like, he's interning and the show, and there was like a remote shot that he could have gotten hired, not for this show. Waste of a week. You should have lied.
Just lie, dude. I was trying to tell him, just lie.
No,
always
there's,
lie.
There's no coming back from that for me. It's like there's one fan base that you can't cheer for around me that I'm like, ugh. Like, Sens fans, like, oh, little brother, you know? Like, oh, give you a little nookie, and you're like, you guys are trying so hard. Maybe this year you'll get some fans in there.
Timmy Stutzel.
Maybe this year you guys will get a couple of fans who aren't Habs or Leafs fans as diehards. Habs is disgusting. And again, like, non-French, like, are you French?
No, my dad's from Montreal, though.
Non-French Habs fan?
purely.
Dad's from Montreal.
Don't care.
I get a slide. I have a cottage outside Montreal, like 30 minutes outside. I'm going this summer.
French Habs fan.
You just made it worse.
The most deplorable thing you can be.
Callum, you should have just said Flames and
I was going to say, I just.
I should have. Yeah, I know. It was a terrible day to wear this hoodie. Terrible day to say I'm a Habs fan.
Guess what? It's always a terrible day for any of those things. That hoodie. You should just.
I'm gonna go ahead and get one and wear it.
Send
next
that
Monday.
To James Harden. Just tell him, hey man, this is for you. This is not.
I wore this in honor.
This
of
is
you.
Not for me. Yeah, I'm a big, tall, lanky white kid who tried to pull this off, and I would just like you to know that I am sorry. And James Harden's like, it's okay. It's all right. Thank you for the hoodie. Okay. Anyway, it's tough. I feel like it's hard sometimes for real fans to be represented, like real diehard fans.
True.
Who mostly watch sports pissed off. Who mostly watch sports. And they're like, oh, this team, they suck so bad. Why don't they win? Why can't I have anything good? That's most fans. If you're a fan who's like, they tried. Yuck. That's happened way too much recently. The Leafs were very good in the regular season. I don't know if you know this. A lot of their fans will
break
that
news.
Up.
They actually won a round.
It's actually very random in hockey. That's why the Leafs haven't won. It's all just Puck random.
Luck, you know, what can you do?
It's all just random. And you just, it's random, random, random.
But yeah, this team consistently loses in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so having, this is, every fan base should essentially have a person that not elected on Twitter. Because again, Twitter is, it doesn't matter how many followers you have in terms of this stuff. Twitter, Instagram, I don't care. It's like that's the echo chamber stuff. You can have a ton of Twitter followers and you could just be like overly positive. You could be overly like whatever. Every fan should have that person who goes to the games. You got to be at the games. You got to be a hustler who goes, nah, I have seasons. I'm not on the couch. I'm there. I'm suffering through this and I'm paying the bills. I am part of paying the bills for this franchise in a meaningful way. I pay the bills. I show up at the games. When I go sit in my section, the people around me know me.
Yeah.
And then after really bad losses, I get the mic. Get the mic over to Chuck. And sometimes he could say nice things about you. Sometimes if you win a big game, if you beat the Habs Saturday night, not really accomplishment because Habs pretty much joke now. Like they're back in it. They're like, we surrender. Like they do the most French thing ever. Like, we're not actually trying this year.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's their main thing now. But there should be a fan that gets the microphone. That's just, this makes the most sense of all things ever. And like, no organization would allow it because it's due to too much corporate interest and all this different stuff. But like, wow, would that be electric? Wouldn't you tune in? Leafs blow it.
Oh, my
Leafs
goodness.
Leafs blow it.
Cinema.
Again in the playoffs.
Cinema.
And they just make the players stay on the ice and they pass around. They would never allow, like, they couldn't even have their coach criticize them without it becoming a Nationals headline. Their coach was like, who tries hard? And the Leafs were like,
Sheldon, you have to walk that one back.
He said that in front of the whole team. Like, just trembling lips.
I will say the Philly fans gave Trey Turner a standing ovation. He's been on fire since
then.
That's
cool.
So maybe positive reinforcement
Dude,
sometimes.
Yes,
can help.
You should get positive. Guess what they get? Always positive reinforcement. Have you ever been to a game? Like
not in Philly.
No, in anywhere. It's when it's very infrequent booing. It's a lot of cheering. It's Definitely. Every home run you hit is a standing ovation. Every win that a baseball team has is a standing ovation. You don't get booed after every loss. Like. It's a lot of cheering. It's millions of dollars, praise, and a incredible lifestyle. I don't mind there being some form of accountability. Social media sucks. It's not a good form of accountability. You go on social media, it's toxic. It's either, you know, it's way too far, and you read some of the stuff, and you go, this is disgusting. Like, man, I'm a small-time podcast and radio host.
And I
get hate sometimes where I'm like, oh, that's too mean. I don't deserve that from you. Ooh, my mom might see that. Ooh. Like that happens. And it's over weird stuff. Like, so I tried to be in F1. I was like, I like F1. And some guys would be like, shut the f-. You'd be like,
Austin, bleep that, please.
Yeah, like,
thank you, Joe.
You bleep, 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 bleep. I was like, oh, I just tried to like F1. I'm sorry. My bad. Whoops. Whoops, my mistake. I just wanted to watch the race, and I tweeted that I was enjoying it. That was my fault, though.
Sorry for being
into something. I could see how you do that.
I can see how you do that. Some people go to my podcast review page and they'll leave the nastiest thing. And I'm like, he has to do that. That's how I make my money. I'm proud of what I do. So, yeah.
Canada dub.
Yeah, yeah. We won. We steamrolled them. This was over a long time ago. But yes, final. The final score is in. Canada win. Luka Doncic, big crybaby, go home. got to go to his house. He's probably got so many pillows he cries into.
Now Canada, man.
Now, I'll tell you this, just quick off the fly thing. Now the stakes are kind of back. Remember how I said it was like, eh, well, it's kind of over, and they made the Olympics. I'm like, now the Canada-USA game is real, and it's just like that feels like so many years in the making and so many years wanting that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now it's kind of back.
A real moment.
It's, yeah, now it's a little bit different.
I could have just seen Dan Schulman on tomorrow to discuss and preview.
Yeah, yeah, true. Anyways, we need more fans like this guy who says you don't have the right to
tarnish
our jersey. Huh. Although with the Leafs, it would be so embarrassing because it'd be like, you know, a long, long time ago, so long ago, we were good. And then there was a couple of decent teams in there, but mostly really bad and embarrassing. So you totally have the right to embarrass them. That's the thing about being a loser for this long, that's what happens with the Leafs, is that there isn't the same pride in the fan base. And you do have the portion of the fan base that's like, don't worry, we're doing good in the regular season. Like, yeah, hurry, hip, hip, hooray. These guys are amazing. Because you've just been such losers for so long that the bar is set so low. Like that was the embarrassing thing about winning. Ooh, I don't like this Dylan Brooks thing that he's doing with the boxing gloves. I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of that. Well, I love it because Dylan Brooks is bulletproof. I already said he's allowed to do whatever he wants. The boxing in the tunnel, punching everybody in the stomach.
Semifinals.
He's the man. He's the man. He's the man. He's our guy. Anyway, you can't have it. You can't have losing this long, period. Yeah. And maybe if we would have had that guy in the stands, yelling down. Remember where there was like that little moment with the waffle guys? No, you guys don't because you're all babies.
Oh, I remember the waffle guys.
Yeah, you remember. Yeah, you remember. Well, Austin somehow.
Kessel. Oh, yeah, the waffle guys.
Why
would you throw a waffle? I never got the protest.
But that was the kind of the beauty of it, though.
It absolutely was.
It was. It was like, that was kind of the beauty of it. Like the jersey over the stanchion thing, it was like, it's been done before. Now people
paper
are like,
bags have been done before.
Oh, should have given your jersey to a cad. It's like, where do you think it's going to go? Should have given that away. Why would you waste a jersey? Shut up. Jersey burning now is so done. It was like when LeBron left, that one, when they were like, LeBron burning the jersey, I was like, whoa, that's a real one. After that, every jersey that's been burnt since, lame as hell. So dumb.
Yeah.
So he's some hick in his backyard. He's like, and I'm dealing with this team. You're like, oof. I don't want your life. Sick, that was probably your nicest shirt. You burnt it. Whoops. But yeah. See, I warmed up today. I needed coffee. The coffee finally kicked in. I was dead at the beginning of the show. What a waste of a show at the very beginning. That first 30 minutes of the show, don't even podcast that.
We were worried for you.
What?
We were worried for you. I was saying to Callum, like, this guy's the best guy, and I got to come in there and wake him up a little bit today. Yeah, he's fire in his belly.
Like,
I'll toss you a vape next time. Get some nicotine in you, start flowing, and then get the energy up.
God, nicotine.
It's a joke, by the way.
Goes on, anyway, I was going to talk about how great nicotine is.
No, we're not doing that anymore.
It's a joke, by the way.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm all over the place now. Get more fans in the seats with microphones. I love this guy. I think, guess what? I will tell you this. If you now, I would like to officially announce Lyon is my soccer team. And it's purely because I'm not bandwagoning in a high time. And I'm really not a Lyon fan.
They're last place, so literally you couldn't be jumping in.
But that's the thing. I'm mostly just a fan of the way they do their business, which is this. Which is like making the players stand. If you don't, you got to go watch a video. If you listen to this, you got to go watch it. Just put Lyon into any search engine, it'll come up. But this is the best idea, I think, that... I think that this is the best thing that's ever happened in sports in, I don't know, the salary cap era. So this is one of the coolest things that's ever happened in sports. I don't think, like, you can't beat this. Twitter, the worst.
Yeah, Real life, that's the thing.
Real life fans of sports still rule. Okay? Those of you that are out there listening to this thing where you love it still and you go and you want to be there because you care. And then every once in a while, you almost have to pretend like you care a little less because your girlfriend or someone's like, he really likes sports. And you're like, yeah, don't say that.
Like, you can't be as much of a nerd about it.
Yeah, like, don't say that in front of this investment banker, please.
You gotta, like, tone down the
His
stats
thing
a
is
bit.
Sports. By the way, this is another thing that we're doing on the pod only. Mm. We got to stop doing... You know what the worst part about fantasy football season is? by far.
What's that?
It's the lame things that hit social media where it was like the husband brings the wife a note and is like, read this, please. And she's like, you've been a dutiful husband and you've been doing a great job. But now it's football season and I'm not going to see you on Sundays. And this is my sick note. It's like the little cringy stuff. Or I've seen the one that's shared around where it's like, your boyfriend's a doctor. Well, my boyfriend owns his like fantasy football or his own football team. I'm like, every time I see those things, I'm like, they might have to take this away from us. they might have to take away fantasy sports from us. They might have to take away football
Delete
from us.
Apps.
If you're doing that stuff, if you're doing those things, you just can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't. You cannot do that. You cannot. It's so, so bad. I just want to tell you, if you're ever thinking about doing that stuff, don't. Don't do
just
that.
Just a word
stuff.
Of advice.
Don't put that Don't. Out there. Don't put that out there. I'll make everybody mad. I'll make everybody mad because I was grumpy today. Same thing with like, it's everybody's first day of school. I get it. Your parents.
Yeah.
Why can't that photo just be for you?
Oh, JT.
Why can't you just take a photo of your kids before they go to school and keep it for yourself?
But it's nice and wholesome.
What do you really think that there is like, here's the thing. You have a family group chat unless you have a bad family.
Fair.
So just put that into the aunts and uncles. Send the email to the grandma. Here's a photo of the kids on first day of school. Like, are you putting it on
posting
Instagram?
It could be like you have like some pride.
If you put it on Facebook, I accept that. Because that Facebook was completely taken by the boomers and they were like, this is ours now. And everyone was like, you can have it.
Go ahead.
It was like boomers and crazy guys who hated the vax from your high school. That was like, that's who we gave it to. We were like, you got it. this is yours. We gave it over to those guys.
Just those two groups.
Those two groups, they have it. Yeah, if you like conspiracies, Facebook was the place for you to go.
Now it's Reddit.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go on Reddit because Raptors Reddit hates me too much, so I get hurt. It hurts my feelings.
I remember like earlier in the show, you'd like share your Raptors
takes.
No,
I would do one. I'll do like
Reddit.
A positive Raptors takes, and they'd be like, this idiot again. I'm like,
like we were trying to grow the show, and it was just negativity. I
had
like,
I had the first Raptors podcast in the country, just so you know. I was really trying to support this team for a long time. No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, you don't need to do that. I know you have kids.
But it's wholesome. Like
is it wholesome?
I mean, I'm assuming that's why people do it. Show off their family, proud of their kids.
Mm. Sure.
I can't think of any other reason. I don't know. I don't have kids.
I don't think
it's also like it's a landmark moment, right? Where it's like I'm taking my kid to his first
a landmark
day of school
moment every
today,
day, every year. No.
But okay, does it make a difference if it's their first day of high school?
I don't think
or
there's
first
anyone.
Day of
no,
university.
There's no one taking a picture of a grade 10-year-old and being like, I'm taking my grade 10
grade
to school
10-year-old.
Today.
A grade 10-year-old.
You know, I got stuck between grade 10 and 15.
Dude, you said that. I do a double take.
Is your kid a grade 10-year-old? He is.
That's the most awesome.
He's a grade 10-year-old. Yeah. Here's what I'll tell you. When I was basically, I don't know, 9 and up, I didn't want my parents to let my friends see my parents hug me. I was like, man, if my parents drop me off around the corner from school, please. I don't want, you know, and there was nothing. There's honestly nothing funnier than the dad joke of doing that, which was the dad classic. And now I appreciate it so much. Of like dropping you off at school and being like, I love you, sweetie. Thank you for the kiss. As you like walked out of the car, you're like, oh, oh my God.
Just mortified.
That was a nuclear bomb from your dad. He could crush you with that. Just you thought you were safe. You're like, oof, out
of
the car.
The
and then just all of a sudden, like,
life.
Windows rolled down. You're like, oh no.
Just run. Yeah, run.
Love you, sweetie pie. You look cute today in your shirt. You're like, oh no. But moms did it for real. Oh, you're not too old to give your mother a kiss. That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
You're not too old to give your mother a hug. And you're like, I am too old, Mom.
Mom, I'm tough now. I'm a man.
I hate it, Mom. Now I always want to hug my mom.
Yeah.
Now I'm old. Now I'm like, ooh, how much time do we have left? You know, like, that's, and I was just like, I was just listening to that. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, first day
of
school.
We were all over the place today.
That's what I'm saying is, like, if you're a kid,
yeah,
you don't want a photo of you on the internet, your parents' social media. Why would you?
Yeah, why would you want that?
If you are of that age, then yeah, that's.
I don't understand the social media accounts that are just my friends taking pictures of all their kids all the time and posting like 5 shots of their kids a day. I'm like, woof, you gotta get outside. Gotta get away from those kids.
Put the phone down. Yeah. Go to the park with your child.
Just can't you hang out with your kid without taking 8 pictures of them? Like, yeah. Can't you just. That sounds really preachy, but like, can you be a little more present? I don't know. I can't. I hope I have a kid now, and then I'm always posting. I'm like, first day of school, everybody look.
You look have to now.
Aiden is in his outfit.
Yeah, I just didn't like the fastest skip for me on the Instagram stories. Children in the school.
Just, first day of grade 1. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. No, there's nothing. My relatives' kids. I'm just like, actually, my relatives are pretty good with this. They don't do a lot of that posting. We're real. We're real ones in my family.
We're real people.
Yeah, we are. We're real.
You
ones.
Go outside and touch grass.
Yeah, I got real gang gang. Like it's not like, oh God, look, my kid stood up at a thing and look at them. They're at the park. Like it couldn't care less. Anyway, do we have anything else? We got to wrap this up. I'm meeting Bourne today for lunch.
Did you want to hit on Duke, Riley Leonard, and his mom texting him, "You suck," before every game?
I don't understand
and then
the story.
Just beat Clemson.
So, fires him up.
Yeah, fires him up. So
my
mom, he also
my
has
mom,
a bracelet.
My hater, my biggest motivator, you know? Like,
he also has a bracelet that says "You suck" on it, and his mom has a tradition that he texts him "You suck" before every game.
This is a Kalem move.
That's his
this is a try
motivational
hard move.
Thing.
This is a try hard move in a hard way. Kalem, you can relate to this. You would be like, "This is what I'm all about." And it's like, This just reeks of phoniness. Like, obviously this guy's mom doesn't think he sucks. I actually like it when there's the parent who's like, could have been better.
John Morant's dad went before.
No, but he's like, some of those guys take it too far. Like, there's the parent, there's the scale of sports parent where it's like the helicopter parent who's way too involved.
Yeah.
LeVar Ball.
Bingo. And then there's the like too passive where you're like, it's like, actually, that's the better end to be on is like completely passive. I actually just listened to Malcolm Gladwell on Bill Simmons a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I always listen to that one. And like whenever Malcolm Gladwell's on Bill Simmons, I always feel like he's got some good ideas. Some that just at least make you think. They did a really good expo. They had a really good discussion on youth sports. And one of the things that he mentioned was how now with youth sports, you go to these games and it's like the parents are all there. There's so much pressure from the parents constantly. It's like, and he was mentioning when he grew up that he didn't have parents at any of the games. It wasn't really a thing. Mm-hmm. And even that way for me, like when I was playing sports, my parents would make it to the odd game, like they would, but they weren't at every single game. Mm-hmm. It was like a big deal. Like my parents picked me up from hockey. They weren't at every game watching every single one. And they weren't that, like for me, when I was actually like coming up through hockey and even through basketball, but basketball and volleyball, they were like so much smaller. Like hockey, you'd actually have like way more parents in attendance. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like through the school where you weren't even like, yeah. But it was like, you'd have one crazy mom on the team. Or one crazy dad who was like watching all the games and you were like, oof, embarrassing.
And they were like super committed. You could hear him yelling from the stands.
Exactly. It was like
thing.
In talking trash to a ref and you'd be like, oof, Tammy,
like,
at it again,
like,
boy.
We're 13.
Yeah.
Like, what's going
and
on?
And now it's like, they're all the crazy parents. They're all in there together. Like, don't you think the coach should play? It's like, okay, whoa.
There's a lot of psychos in Oakville.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yell at other parents.
No, because, but again, so much money, there's so much pressure. Anyway,
yeah.
Where was that with this?
That you suck.
Yeah, you
yeah,
suck.
But dude,
good job, Kalem.
I like it. I honestly like it from the mother's text and the standpoint. Heck, it worked. Dude,
not really.
Dude,
they did beat Clemson.
What do you mean? Clemson was a top 10 team in college football.
That's you guys are literally like astrology girls, where you're like, I had a good day today because I had this moon rock in my pocket.
Results,
like, it's just
play
like, no, that's not what made it happen. The you suck, the fact that this guy put in hours and hours of training and their coaching staff put together, it's like a lot. You guys are like, man, that you suck. Basically, I should get. You guys are literally Michael's secret stuff. Like you are taking drinks out of the bottle, being like, "Wow, yeah, wow." No, do I think the mom is a good mom? Yes, I'm just saying that this particular thing feels really gratuitous and performative, and yeah, a little lame. It's just lame. He's the same quarterback where he tried to get the extension from school, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
He did that after the game.
Yeah, and I love that
never got
teacher.
The extension. Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, the teacher was the man.
Yes,
he put out a video. He's like, "Professor, the paper's due tonight at midnight. I need an extension." He's trying to be all cute with it because he's a quarterback, so he's used to getting away with everything in his entire life. Yeah. And some dork teacher is like makes a video. He's like, Riley? His name's Riley, right?
Yeah, Riley Leonard.
He's like, Riley, the offensive lineman got it done. Why didn't you? no extension, buddy. Good game. I was like, wow.
It was amazing.
It was really good.
And the rally video, too. He's like, I think it's already midnight, but like I'm asking for an extension. Yeah, I'm like, man, you missed the mark already.
No, dude, that's the thing is he cares so little about school. This guy.
Oh, he couldn't give less.
And he's like, I think it's tonight at midnight. You don't even know. Woof. Yeah, no.
Yeah. He's like, I think it's already midnight. I'm like, okay, you clearly did not think
that's
about this
just
assignment.
A charming dude, though. He's so used to it. He's like, I can get away with this.
He's a golden retriever.
Yeah, like, I can get away with this.
It's a North Carolina attitude, not a Duke attitude.
Happy-go-lucky, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, it's true. Duke is supposed to be way more about the education.
We raised good gentlemen there.
We raise. Like, Austin, you couldn't. Austin, if you step one foot there on campus and security would boop, boop, boop. Like,
I've been to Cameron Indoor.
Yeah, sorry, what are you doing here, sir? Oh, I was just looking for Cameron Indoor.
No, you want to go to Rally. NC State's down the street.
All right. Anyway, one more. I'm having fun.
Manning Cast.
Yeah,
did you watch the ad yesterday with all the celebrities and DJ Khaled, Lil Wayne, Tom Brady?
It was fun.
Excited for Manning Cast to come back.
There was one part of it that I really liked, and that was not the Tom Brady one. That was all right. I was like,
Dan Campbell?
Tom Brady's so handsome.
Oh, he is.
It's just insane how handsome Tom Brady is getting.
It's infuriating.
Like, from what he was to... No, it's not infuriating to me. It's hope. Like, I know I'll never have Tom Brady money, work ethic, or, you know, avocados, TB12. I'll never have any of these things. But, like, Tom Brady is, to my age, what I think George Clooney was to the older guys than me, where you're like, yo, you can just keep getting hotter.
Like the Silver Fox.
Yeah, because, like, Leo's falling apart. Leo's just starting to look weird.
He's munching ice cream at the
end
of Miami.
He's just not looking like... Leo's no longer like a...
Out.
He's just not a super hunk anymore. He's Leo, so it's like he's still going to do whatever, but it's just like... He's starting to get a weird, he's starting to look weirder. He's not Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's aging he's perfect.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt,
that's true.
Brad Pitt did that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and he took his tarp off, and I was like, oh boy.
Oh my goodness.
Best part of the movie. Ask me like five things about that movie, I can't tell you. Brad Pitt, tarp off on the roof, number one memory of that
59
movie.
59 years old.
Those forearms, I was like, how do I get that?
59 years old.
Yeah. Leo's not aging into that class. I'm just saying that Tom Brady sitting in that chair, he's so strikingly good looking.
Yeah.
He's in that commercial for 1 second, and my biggest takeaway was like, holy crap. Did you guys see how hot Tom Brady was in that chair? There was a dog beside him, and I was like, I barely noticed that dog was there.
There was a dog? What?
Yeah, staring at handsome Tom Brady.
Yeah, I didn't see the dog either.
Yeah
I didn't see the dog. So I was just looking at Tom.
Tom. There was one funny part, the TJ Khaled stuff was cringe.
Kirk Cousins.
Cousins was so cringe. Mike McDaniels was right. McAfee, that was the funny part where he put
McAfee
the sleeves
when
on.
He put
him.
The sleeves on?
Yeah, where he's like, let's
put
some sleeves on.
I think I'm not cut out
you.
For this.
I just thought that was fun. I liked to believe that Peyton improv that, where he's like, let's get some sleeves on you. Mm. I was like, that.
They scrapped the first joke and just said, you
like,
know what?
I just think that, yeah, I'm hoping that was a Peyton joke. Like, that was two guys who played together and he just cracked wise with them there. Anyway, I like Manning Cast, but I will say that. Manning Cast now for me does feel like if I'm watching a game where it's not as intense, it's like second quarter viewing now. I don't want, and I want to flip over to Manning Cast if something happens in a game to quickly see it.
Yeah.
But I don't watch it as much as I used to, where it was like, oh, I want to see the whole Manning Cast. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Now it's more a novelty that I want for a little.
Yeah. True.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it was awesome. It was actually, I shouldn't say it was always low stakes, because it was awesome watching it as a Seahawks fan, when Russell Wilson and the guy that got made fun of, Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah,
when they didn't call the timeout and Peyton was doing like jamming the timeout.
That's the first clip that came to my mind,
but
for
then,
sure.
But then they took heat because they were a little overly critical. And so it was like, you know, they kind of toned it down after that. I hate it. Whenever they're doing a celebrity interview, it's the last thing on earth I want to see. Whenever it's like Lil Wayne and they're like, Lil Wayne.
I did like Shannon Sharp. I thought he was pretty good.
Shannon
Sharp was on the Manning Cast with them.
Yeah, but he's not I just said celebrities. He's a former athlete.
Oh, okay, fair, yeah.
What are you talking about?
I thought you were referencing like all the guests that came through.
I'm talking about when they have like Kevin Hart on.
Oh, okay.
And it's like when they have a celebrity.
Right.
It's very painful watching them try to do an interview in the middle of the football game. And then the celebrity usually wants to, sometimes you get the guy who's like, I want to talk a little bit more football with you guys. I want to chop it up, and they get in the awkward cross section where you're like, ooh. This is not it. So yeah, I'm glad it's back. It should exist. It does really well on television.
Mm-hmm.
So happy watching Kelly Olynyk celebrate.
Oh yeah.
Hell yes.
He deserves it. Deserves every second of it.
Zach Edey on his phone. Youth. Not everyone's celebrating. Youngest guy on the team on his phone. Yeah, TikToking.
Like not talking to anyone. He's got his legs crossed.
Nikhil Alexander Walker.
Yeah, huge good. Dunk. Give him a dap. There we go. See there. That's good teammate. Nikhil comes in the dressing room and he gives him daps and he's like, "Yo, wake up. Get out of your phone." Everybody's standing up, having a good time.
RJ.
And you guys on the bench, you should be pumping us up, not on your phone. Like, you guys should be pumping me up when I come in, not on your phones. And be like, "What's up, man? Kill it today. Kill it today, dog. You're a killer dog."
We're going to a standing ovation for you tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Confetti and everything. You're going to get even madder.
Callum burns his hoodie. He's just like, "I know this was trash. This was a bad idea."
I will tonight. I'll DM James Harden, too. It was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was. Send him a picture.
I'll unfollow every soccer reporter.
Send him a picture of you in the mirror saying, "Do I look as cool as you?"
He'll say the same name.
Yeah, this, "Do I look as cool as you?" JH?
He's just going to dislike it.
Anyway, this was fun. This was a fun one today. The first half was terrible. The second half was really fun.
First half of the pod?
No, first half of the... The whole pod was good. The show was trash. That's why you subscribe to this podcast. That's why you leave 5 stars.
The show wasn't trash. It was totally fine. It was a pretty trash show. You did a good job, JD. You had some good conversation.
I know when it's bad, and I know it was bad, and it just didn't work out.
I thought there were some good clips out of it. Come on. Yeah. I thought it was good, too.
Me. Yeah, whatever. See?
I liked it. There's some great football takes. I'm excited for Thursday.
Boys, let me pump up JD. You come up with different stuff after, okay? Yeah. Come on.
You can't take the position of like, "You're right, it was trash." I'll be like, "Cool, don't show up tomorrow."
Just choke slam him behind the glass.
Remember how you get paid. Remember how you get the money. All right, let's wrap this sucker up. Yeah, leave 5 stars. Hit me up if you want to bet. Always hit up the DMs. I'm going to be doing some futures, some best bets. I'm going to be doing 3 best bets a week. Or sorry, 3 best bets for every single football weekend. I'm definitely going to have a ton of stuff for same game parlays and all this different stuff for tomorrow night's game. I can't wait. Oh my God, tomorrow night. So sweet. Can't wait to just do nothing. Oh.
Can't come any sooner.
Whoo. Don't do those posts with your girlfriends that are all cringe, and stop. Limit posting your children. Just hang out with them. All right.